A narrative of the city, the music of the spheres. I am lying in my hammock, a back porch summer evening, listening to the soprano in the second floor of the triple decker that abuts my small yard. She is preparing for her next concert with the Baroque ensemble, The King's Noise, and I'm lucky enough to have a box seat up in the trees. I swing back and forth, letting melody and inflection carry me into my soft and clear self, when suddenly, from across the street, a continuo of moans, two or three voices of the men who live in the house for the mentally disabled. I listen as their sounds, full and rich, assert themselves into the night air. They blend round my ear, a throbbing, sustained tenor to the lilting aria. The men are sounding the narrative of their day, or perhaps a larger lyric of life. The stereophonic ensemble rolls over me when suddenly, from the opposite side of the street, a startling, insistent cry. Our local folk singer is practicing her bagpipes. I am seeing mountain, crag, valley, mist carried deeply into an eternal sadness, the witness of their call. Among the separate voices, I flow side to side at ease. Soon they cohere around me, one song, sound passing through my body, lingering, extending muscle and every small coagulating beat and rest. I am three-part invention, perhaps quartet. But no, neighbor Penny Outback plays her hymns and sings only in the mornings before she walks into the world. And I have no need to go inside, sit at my upright piano, and add my humble Bach from the notebooks. Instead, I listen and compose this silent, grateful poem. A Narrative of the City, Poets. I walk from class down the brick sidewalk, daffodils, forsythia, the piercing of this season, on to the bus stop, and suddenly the acrid presence of those in our city without a place to wash. He sits on the bench calling out, "Sunshine, sunshine, sunshine." I look at his grizzled red hair and green eyes, like my family. He is smiling, catching the light. "I like it, I like it, I like it." I nod, "Yes," and now he has me. "Not just food, not just food." I think that's the staccato I hear. Then, "Flowers, flowers, flowers." He gestures widely, generously. "I like it, I like it, I like it." And he's hitting those sounds, throwing them out into this quickening surety of world, this universe, this space connected. "Sunshine, sunshine, sunshine. The wind, the wind, the wind." The bus rolls up. He settles deeper into his warm spot to call forth the day. All the way home, I am liking to hear our sound, our passage. I am liking to see his sweet, crazed face. I like it, I like it, I like it. Muddy River. Small river of Boston's emerald necklace. Where I grew up, you would barely be a creek, surely not a river, amongst the likes of the Atchafalaya, the Red, and the big muddy Mississippi. Today, you are my urban river, where I walk and ponder tall grasses called invasives, still waters called stagnant, mallards, and rats. I sit under your trees and watch eddies loosen from devious channels and underground connections. I sent the marshy tidal stream Olmsted set out to civilize. Before me pass the 100 rivers that have blessed me, whose waters I dare not drink. A Narrative of the City. A little bit. Look into her face. She could be the nurse who takes your child's temperature. She could be the manager of a village store. This woman could be your favorite neighbor, but she's a little bit crazy. She gauges the world from benches and sleeps in summer on the grass in front of the library. Sometimes she has a stuffed plastic bag at hand, her knees drawn up, her head tilted. Sometimes her hand is out. Always her body is jacketed, her hair a darkness of curls, her face strong, but a little bit lost. She is a survivor, this one, and I heed her presence. But today, as I go to work, my mind is full of duty, some of it not so pleasant. And as I become aware of her before me, I keep my eyes away. I don't have it in me to meet her look. As I pass, I hear her voice, muffled but clear, thrown out in my direction. I love you. A Narrative of the City, Babel. Russian? Is it Russian they speak, these two old women across from me on the subway, in their polar fleece babushkas and canvas jackets, their sturdy walking shoes? What pleasures they have telling each other, abjuring each other, directing each other. And now the gesture, a hand uprising, the fingers touching as a young bird reaches up, assured, that gesture, we feed each other. Then a sweep of the open palm across the breast, and hands fold, a pause in the current, a lull. Ah, life is ever thus. Now quickly the inception. Again I ride the vowels, the gutturals, the fricatives. Grateful I have no sense of the words. Grateful for that biblical tower that broke us to sounds. I recall waking to morning prayers in German from my grandmother's bedroom, their passion disciplined in melodic rote. The day begins. I see these women as grandmothers, and with a start remember I too am grandmother. Suddenly, both peer toward the windows and point. Back bay, they say, and nod. They gather themselves and move toward the door. Hawk. The fur drifts softly down as the young gray hawk on the limb outside my window steadies a small body with his claws and pecks at her visceral meal. Late autumn comes quietly on this hill, the sidewalk swept. Only my thoughts take me gently apart. City of the Senses, for my hometown. 1. First sound floats in the heavy air, the Nights of George Lewis, the elegant skip and sustain of clarinet, the trumpet brassing melodic, the long, low trombone pulling us in, letting us out so slow. The Nights of Sweet Emma the Bell Gal, jangles on her ankles, her steady stomp, the piano back up in glory, and the walk was always closer. Blessed offbeat, you touched me. 2. The taste is raw, the oyster, rugged shell shucked, the soft wet body on my tongue, its life and mine together. The taste is easy boil, shrimp, crawfish, crab, slow afternoons, late nights, the empty shells pile up on the long table, laughter, tease, and sympathy. There is enough for all. The taste is dark, thick roux, slow browned, is holy trinity, onion, pepper, celery, is gumbo, is cubillon, is etouffee. The bowl set before me, I set the bowl before you, passed down, family, friend, and always the steady sister rice, the rice from the lowlands, our rice, and Tabasco, our fire. 3. Let me put my hand in the river. Let me climb the levee. Let the earth stick to my feet. 4. I see inward, the dream of dawn and the setting sun. To see is to let go. Our skins touch in the close street, blend in our kitchen, child love I hold tight. To see is to let go. Azalea gives way to Sasanqua. Sasanqua releases to crepe myrtle. Crepe myrtle lets go. Oleander remains. Petal gives way to petal. To see inward is live oak. 5. Most ancient sense, we cannot block you. The drift of easy rot, of easy ferment, a too easy pass through fragrant youth. The party leavings come out our skin, a reek of time put on hold, a mix of death on the stillness of the night. You inform our breath. You do not leave us. We remember night blooming jasmine out the back door. Almost too heavy, says my mother. We are loved as we sleep. Coming home. Wind works best in oak trees. Not the dilly-dally of locust, or the singular spangles of maple, nor the elegant drone of the pine, nor the tremble of aspen. When the wind tags the oak, all branches are caught as one, and the mighty body moves together in a pure and generous and joyful intimacy that ruffles the back of my neck, my own spine, and not so loose limbs. Blessed oak, grand old friend of my childhood, let me be in motion with you. Take my mind into your steady, solid dance. Gather up my heart, pull it close, and release. Weather my body within your firm, gentle bowl. And always, always, when the breezes die down, reach deep to my root.